I have a Swedish Yule goat arson
update.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
We got breaking
some
news?
Interest. It's still up, but Twitter user and intrepid reader Ms. Fire Money has an update that she wanted to share with us. And she says, I can't tell if my favorite part of if this... She cannot determine her favorite part of what is happening here. So, the Yule Goat has a Twitter account. The Yule Goat is, at this point, still alive. Sorry, still unburnt. It was never alive. The Yule Goat is currently tweeting the lyrics to Survivor. And Ms. Firemoney says to us, I can't tell if my favorite part is how much this big straw goat believes in herself or that the replies are just gifts of people striking matches.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, and I am here to say to everyone listening to this, you survived. You made it through Christmas. Congratulations. I hope you got what you wanted. I hope that your heart was full of the holiday spirit.
What if there are podcasts in the afterlife?
If you're pod...
Oh, no, then we're in hell.
What if there are podcasts? Like, what if there are podcasts in hell?
Make me one of those Facebook shirts that says, if there are podcasts in heaven, I don't want to go.
Why wouldn't there be podcasts in hell?
That's a good point.
No, there would
Shout
be.
Shout out Michael Barbaro.
Welcome to the daily in hell.
Maybe in hell.
Two things that mean the same thing, Mikey. Mm-hmm.
Maybe in hell there aren't podcasts, but everyone is a podcaster and talks to you about their podcast. But you can never listen to the podcast.
Oh, that's much worse.
Yeah.
Everyone has a podcast, but it only has three listeners.
That's right.
That's just now.
I think, what if hell is one podcast episode? That
hell is other podcasts. I believe Sartre said.
Yes.
If
I
you
think
are
podcasts in hell, and there, I say that because like maybe there are people listening to this who didn't survive Christmas, and to you we say, welcome to eternity.
Well, we say you are not alone. We are here with you.
Sure,
in hell. Mm-hmm.
That's right. We're gonna get through this.
You sinned in a previous life.
Well, you listen to the Shutdown Fullcast, and that's sloth, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. And wrath.
Yep.
So they say that hell is
and
the
lust,
absence of
shit.
Hell is the absence of God. Therefore, heaven is the absence of pod.
Wait, so if hell is the absence of God, then it can't be this podcast.
Why?
We got a lot of God on it.
We do. Oh. It's true. We speak of the Lord frequently.
Yeah, a whole last episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's all you need. Just once a year. It's very very Protestant. Just check in every now and then.
I am very serious.
This is a Christmas and Easter podcast.
I've learned
it kind of is.
I've at least learned more about religion from this podcast than I have in my previous, decades of living. So
that's a lot of decades. We got Methuselah right here.
That's true.
That's a Bible.
Yeah, well,
is it?
I mean, Spencer was around for a lot of this stuff, but he's forgotten it over time.
Fair.
I just wipe the hard drive, man. I run like a Nintendo Switch. That memory's light. Things disappear when they get off the RAM. Just boop, over.
Sorry that I witnessed the birth of Christ, but it's time to play Luigi's Mansion 3.
They had Vatican 2, and Spencer's like, another one already?
Vatican 3. This time it's personal.
I mean,
I guess indulgences
actually,
were
was
the
kind
first...
of the. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, that was
indulgences
kind of the point.
Were the first in-game purchase, right?
Mm.
Dang.
Yeah, that's a loot box
that's
right there.
That's a loot box, yeah.
Wait, wasn't that recent?
That's a loot box in a couple different ways.
I mean, really, Christianity and a couple of other religions are predicated on the notion of respawn.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, sure.
Most of them work their way to respawn eventually. It becomes like every video game series eventually ends up kind of the same. Like, that's how religions work. Every religion eventually comes around to all the same ideas.
Unless you're The Sims and you're just trapped in the pool, never getting out.
Flall 'em.
On BannerSociety.com a week ago, something like that. Banner Society is a website of some type. Ryan Nanny wrote last week about whether the ringing Hershey's Kisses in the Christmas commercial, that one commercial, you know the one, engage with the Abrahamic faiths on a cognitive level. You should check it out.
I argue that they do. That not that they do, but that they must.
Mm.
I would like to know if any of you got anything cool for Christmas.
I got a bomb that knocked out internet in my city for like 2 days. And some places.
What'd you do with it?
Was that cool or no?
You know, it was not, I would say, cool, but I felt all my worries leave today when driving along the highway, I saw the surest sign that like things were going to get back to normal here. And that was a man parked on the side of the highway, not particularly hidden behind his car or anything else, just with his dick out and pissing in the middle of the day. And that was when
Nashville strong. That Nashville was dong.
Nashville dong. Hashtag Nashville dong. That's right.
Well, if you saw the man's dick, that means it was not Mike Vrabel, of course, because he had his removed a season
for
ago.
For Super Bowl purposes, correct. It was not Vrabel. Oh, you remember
this. Or he promised to or whatever. Whatever it was. It's gone now, I'm sure.
Never mind. That's not what I thought we were talking about.
Okay.
So, would also.
That's what I got.
It's not really Nashville until you see a cop shoot a deer on the side of the road. Listen, I don't care if it's Harding Place. If a buck shows up and I got my license, it's going down. Okay? It ain't a reckless discharge of a firearm because I know where the bullet's going. And so that, soon will the deer. Yeah.
That didn't happen to me today, but cool.
No, I've heard multiple accounts of Metro police officers being summoned to the scene of a deer who has been hit but isn't quite dead in Nashville. All right?
Well, yeah.
And just dispatching it on the side of the road.
I think that's neighborly.
Like, not isolated places either, but like next to the mall, right? Like somebody at Cool Springs calls a Franklin PD and they're like, well, I guess we better take care of this right here, Junior.
Gotta send a message. Can't have deer invading the Galleria.
They're surly. They'll think they own the place.
Do you know what I found out was headquartered in Cool Springs recently? Service merchandise.
Really?
Not still. As of 2002, that shit is dead. But for a while, that's where it called home.
Do you think
Nashville,
an ember still remains?
of service merchandise?
Yeah. Have we snuffed it out or no?
I think, I mean, according to Wikipedia, it died like 20 years ago. It's
so there's not like a rogue nomad.
Like an underground service merchandise?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Spencer, don't you have a service merchandise story?
I don't.
Okay, who is it that we...
Folks, that's how you... Now that's podcasting.
Yeah, that's podcasting.
That is my writing partner, and this is what it's like all the time.
Now you know that this podcast is in hell.
Nah, that was...
I have to play off that.
No. This is purgatory grade content right now.
So here's the thing. The thing that I'm going to say is probably going to make it worse. I am convinced that I know somebody who bought their wedding ring at Service Merchandise, and I just assumed that was you.
That could be right, because Service Merchandise, even on the way down, was still a major jewelry... I don't know why I read like a lot about Service Merchandise yesterday. No, I do know why. It's because we had no internet, and this was the only thing my phone would load with one bar, and I read the whole fucking wiki because I wasn't going to load a new page. Are you kidding me?
I wonder if this means you got your phone at Service Merchandise, and if you get online at the airport sometimes in some shitty cities, it's like, here's a webpage about our city, and that's all you get to read.
Here's airport map. That's all you get. It could be. Fuck.
I did, actually. You're right. I did get my wedding ring at Service Merchandise.
Wait, did you forget?
Wow.
No, I just didn't think it was that interesting a story. I was like, oh, somebody's got some sort of really way more interesting story than I got my wedding ring at Service Merchandise.
I think you're the ranking service merchant here.
Yeah. Like when Nicolas Cage needs somebody, needs an artifact to revive the soul of service merchandise in National Treasure 7, he's going to find me. Yeah. Go, I hear you have right. a relic.
I hear you
steal
understand.
The service merchandise catalog.
Do you understand how to use the in-store computer? You do.
It runs on Fortran.
No, listen, man. This is how service merchandise worked, because I didn't remember because I was a child. At first, you walked in the store and they handed you like carbon copy paper and they were like, go around and write down everything you want and then bring it to the cash register. You will get like a slip and then go wait for your shit at the conveyor belt. That wow. was the like whole concept.
Best Buy Kia.
Yes.
It's like walking inside Amazon.com.
And then they replaced that with, hey, we'll put computer stations throughout the service merchandise that you can manually input your order and then go pay for it and then go wait for it.
It's like a buffet.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know what restaurant this is? This is Piccadilly.
This is Luby's or Piccadilly. Yes, correct.
Yeah. And I will tell you, some overlapping demography happening there. Okay. Some overlapping customer bases.
Oh, yeah.
In the end.
I guarantee you my grandpa spent many a Sunday back and forth between Piccadilly and service merchandise.
My abiding memory of service merchandise is my little brother charging up to the customer service desk, standing in line and waiting in that line to tell them that they had mistakenly used an apostrophe on their sign in a plural.
Damn.
He was like 8.
Fucking get him.
Yeah.
Pow, pow, pow.
He then went on to play O-line, and, you know, you can, some say that's when we knew.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Smartest people on the team. Mm-hmm. Smartest people on the team. So Ryan got a bomb.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Holly, did you get anything cool?
I got Vivian Howard's new book, which Michael Felder and I are going to be cooking our way through on that other fine IMG podcast, the name of which completely escaped
Hand
me
in the
from
dirt.
Hand in the Dirt.
Even though
Hand
I'm on it
dirt.
All the fucking time.
Man.
On Hand in the Dirt.
How are you doing this in front of, like, one of the hosts of said show?
Well, I'm playing Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, okay.
Which
sorry.
Doesn't help.
You get to be me tonight.
Ugh. I like a shower, though.
You get to be half me.
Okay. Which half?
The clean half. But forgetful. Okay. Clean, but forgetful. But yeah, you got that.
Oh,
anything
anyway,
else?
I got Vivian Howard's new book. All my things are books. I got a book on the history of pockets in women's clothing. Shut up. And I got
wow.
a book on the history of salad. You know what? I am not making my case any stronger.
Brick
so I'm
Squad!
No, the answer is I got nothing cool for Christmas, and it was fantastic. Thank you
now,
for asking.
So these are two history books, Salad and Pockets?
Yes.
How far back do they go?
I haven't started either of them. Perfection Salad is the salad book. It is in the 50s, and it's... okay, the interesting... Anyway, I'm going to start talking about it, and y'all are going to regret this. But the history of salad has a lot of parallels to, like, the history of design and architecture in America. And then the history of pockets in American clothing is basically the history of, like, class and labor. Right? Because for a very long time, only it's like, you know, now how the president doesn't carry keys in a wallet and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because he has people to do that for them. Well, that's like it was. That's how it was for rich people for a really long time. Right. Like, why would you need to carry shit? You have people to carry that for you.
Huh.
So I always is the opening sentence like the pocket was discovered in the year? Whatever.
I'm going to report back at length. On this, but pockets used to be it was called a pocket, but it looks like a purse. It's like a little flap of fabric that you sew into a little bag on a string, and you would tie it around your waist with your apron, right? So like the pocket was portable. Fanny packs really predated pockets is what I'm saying.
I mean, I think the last
what you're
no, I got
is...
nothing cool for Christmas. Why did you ask me?
What you're describing is like what I picture Robin Hood like cutting off of the Sheriff of Nottingham's waist.
Yes.
To steal.
Yes, it kind of looked like that. It had really long strings so you could like wind it around your waist a couple times.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's
so you could literally pick somebody's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Fanny pack.
Yeah.
I think the last president to carry anything in his pockets was LBJ. And he carried a knife because...
Cigarettes?
Probably. I think LBJ just assumed that as president, he was basically like King Bouncer for the United States. And like he would one day have to physically fight the leader of another country over an important issue, right? Like, well, you want this canal. Sorry, you're going to have to fight.
Sorry, okay. I got this roll of quarters that says otherwise.
I feel like if you ask if you go up to ask LBJ and you say, hey, what you got in your pocket? He's going to make a joke about his dick.
That is exactly
I need extra room in my pants for my knife and also my huge penis. Yeah, which I will also use in combat. Like a baton.
Was it? Never mind.
Yeah, every question, every possible question from here is disturbing. On a level that we're not really ready for. Jason, what did you get for Christmas?
So I'm realizing I might be a monk because I got books about God, candles, and European beer. That's like, I'm a Trappist monk, basically.
Pretty good.
You got the monk
also,
starter
kit. Oh, wait, I can, actually, let's go a little bit north because I also got Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And I spent the morning dedicating fallen souls to Odin. So
that's fantastic. Do you have to do any of the dumb parts where you're actually in modern time?
Not yet. There was one part where it was like, hang on, we're losing control. DNA, email. And I'm like, nope, fuck that. Nope, nope.
Nope.
Skip.
Nope. Skip.
The lamest part of every Assassin's Creed game is that you have to go, you're actually in some sort of weird DNA simulation. No, yeah. Just give me the part where
you have to spend 10 minutes reading emails over people's shoulders.
Yeah, there's
basically,
like, here comes the damn hologram, and I'm like, no, get that shit out of my sight. I'm trying to cut this dude's head off because he killed my father 13 years ago, so I don't have time for holograms.
Sorry, I got the old gods have jobs for me, okay?
Hey, holograms are the reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
a hologram, that's like that's when you go Karen.
The Star of Bethlehem was the first hologram.
The holler ham.
Sure.
I just want Assassin's Creed Bootleggers Edition, where all I have to do is make liquor and fight with the feds. That's really all
that's
I want.
Red
for the next
Dead
one.
2.
That's the one. No, man. I think that's the one where they spit you out in email land. Your character's just like, get this shit out of my sight. Like, it infects your character, and he's like, fuck you, I ain't reading a damn thing. You can't
Dwight
make me.
Dwight Eisenhower was Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, he was.
Cotton Hill.
That's it, yeah.
I play this game with no knees. You got a warrant.
I just want that where I invent NASCAR at the end.
Oh, shit, yes.
Yeah, that's really what I want. I want Assassin's Creed Thunder Road Edition. That's really all I want.
Okay. I think that's Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, well, it's like Grand Theft Auto Appalachia, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appalachian's yeah, Creed. Like, hey, folks,
how has that
there's
not
a winning idea.
Yeah.
Ubisoft, you can go ahead and hire me. That is our IP. You'll be hiring all of us if you want it.
Get some lame part, by the way, like where you do the hologram and like it's like, oh, a slick office building in Montreal. Somebody's like, oh, the DNA's not working. And then all I do is I slap him upside the head with a blackjack and we don't hear from him for the rest of the game. They're like, well, you done knocked him out. Let's go back to Bristol, 1941.
The rare literal
DNA.
Outlaw country.
Yeah.
DNA
says I'm 100% Hellraiser.
Dynamite and alcohol. That's my DNA.
This experiment's called Whiskey Bent. My goal is to get hellbound.
I call that's it double helix because I lap you twice.
That's what I want. I want things where they're like, whoa, you've been taken down by Pellagra. You've got hookworm. It's the only thing keeping you from going faster in this hot Packard.
Hookworm doesn't make you faster?
You know what? The history of NASCAR says it does. So
the government wants you to think otherwise, but it does.
Yeah.
Have I ever told y'all about the time I went to a day spa with two women who were both from Tampa who had never spent time with each other before? But they were both friends of mine separately. Like two of our traveling group was from, one was from Tampa, one was from St. Pete. They would want me to say. And so it was one of those spas where everybody runs around naked and the whole time when we were running around naked, these two women, who immediately bonded over their shared Floridianness, spent the entire time talking about pinworms.
Which, if you do not live in Florida, you won't be real familiar with.
Yeah,
they sound
Spencer,
bad.
Maybe you should explain pinworms, or Ryan.
They're little worms that if you play around in dirty water,
which everyone in Florida does
as a child, they'll live in your butt. They'll live in your butt.
Anyway, that's a thing to talk about naked in a giant bathing chamber full of strangers.
Yeah. Pinworms will not be an important part of GTA Bristol.
Shout out to USF.
Yeah. GTA, Johnson City. That's it. In final stage, by the way, you unlock is Copperhead Road. That's it. Copperhead Road's the final. We'll pay Steve Earle for the music, because, damn, that'd be badass. Anyway.
What if it's just called Copperhead Road?
Again, I'm all for making Steve Earle all the money in the world. Mm. Okay?
Spencer, what did you get for Christmas?
Besides a fantastic idea for an Ubisoft game that they won't make, I got, among other things, I got The Seven Samurai on DVD, like the Criterion Collection. Yeah, Seven Samurai, which is awesome, because right after I got it, I was like, man, I'm going to watch it. And I saw a tweet that said, Bob Odenkirk needs to appear in every movie and say the part where they go, you know what we need? We need seven samurai for this job. Like, he's that guy, and I agree. I think Bob Odenkirk should be in every movie. And so now I'm just going to be waiting through Akira Kurosawa's cinematic classic, waiting for Bob Odenkirk to show up and go, we're going to need seven samurai. So I got that. Got a couple of... I got a lot of really good, solid candy as well. And my kids got me a mug that said, I hate mornings. So... according to my sons, I'm Garfield.
Speaking of Garfield, do you want to tell them what I got you? Because I think it's great.
It broke, which...
No, it's okay. We're getting a new one.
I'm very sad about...
It's okay. We're getting a new one. It broke immediately, which is very funny. Ryan knows about this because Ryan and I had an extended conversation over whether or not I should get this for Godfrey.
I'm terrible at exact wording, so you're going to have to help me with exact wording on the coffee
cup. This is a mug with a photograph of Garfield in a cowboy... A drawing of Garfield in a cowboy hat. And the mug says underneath it in the Garfield font, I don't know if I'm going to get to heaven because they never let cowboys in.
Positing the existence of some desperado Garfield universe.
So, Ryan, if I recall correctly, Ryan, keep me honest here, we settled on giving this to Spencer because it kind of looks like him.
It looked like Spencer, correct.
Yeah.
Spencer is Cowboy Garfield, and his sons have now confirmed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, also, Cowboy Garfield is a playable character in Copperhead Road.
Dude, you know, the list of people who are going to be playable in Copperhead Road, right? Frank Beamer's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Playable character in Copperhead Road. Young Frank Beamer, playable character in Copperhead Road. Barry Switzer. I'm just going to make Barry Switzer an unkillable playable character in Copperhead Road.
Just, that's totally different from real life.
Yeah. Flat and Scruggs. Flat and Scruggs are going to be in the game. Minnie Pearl's going to be in the game, and she's going to have the DDT as her power move.
And
yeah.
She triggers it by pulling down on the tag on her hat.
But nobody is a better playable character than Cowboy Garfield.
Listen, man, Cowboy Garfield killed 8 men in Murfreesboro.
Cowboy Garfield is the Squirrel Girl of this universe.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right. Friends with Galactus, just like Squirrel Girl. There is important football news to get to. But first, we have to talk about ancient fried chicken, because I think that is the most
Love
important
that
story.
Chicken from Pompeii.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
No? So,
yeah,
really?
No.
Nobody?
No.
I'm mostly impressed.
I've been waiting like 36
good.
Hours to say that.
I was going to say, I'm impressed that you've been, I know you've been sitting on that for the entirety of this recording.
Okay, sorry. The other one I was sitting on was Vesuviana Fast.
Vesuviana.
I like your first choice better.
All right.
I do.
All right. God, that was disappointing.
Ancient snack stall uncovered in Pompeii, revealing bright frescoes and traces of 2,000-year-old street food. It's a hell of a headline, CNN. Archaeologist in Pompeii? The city buried in a volcanic eruption in 79 AD, in case you're not down with your Pompeii knowledge. Have made the extraordinary find of a frescoed hot food and drink shop that served up the ancient equivalent of street food to Roman passerby, known as a termopolium, Latin for hot drinks counter. The shop was discovered in the archaeological park's Regio 5 site, which is not yet open to the public. Traces of the 2,000-year-old food found in some of the deep terracotta jars contained hot food that the shopkeeper lowered into a counter with circular holes. The main fresco on the front, this is what we're geeked about, shows a chicken. It has two ducks hanging upside down, but it's got a chicken right there on the front.
Pompeii had a chicken scene, y'all.
There's also a dog on a leash, which is sad. I think the leash is what makes it sad.
I'm just like, too busy imagining church's chicken spelled with V's.
What's wrong with telling people like, hey, you can bring your dog, but you got to control it, because like, we got good chicken here that dogs love.
I don't think that's what the dog sign suggests.
Why would it be on the leash then?
Because it's on the menu board next to the chicken and the two ducks.
No, it's not. No.
So you think that sign is saying dogs welcome here?
I think it's saying leash your dog. Yeah.
I like church's chicken a lot because this is literally before church.
Before church.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. One more. Paxby's. Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh.
That I think that's
that they were one. Like, well, think about it. This is a well-established script. We got it. We learned it from them. You know, they conquered us, but damn, this chicken's good.
Sorry, I have thought about nothing else since I saw this story.
It's my right as a Roman citizen to get a two-piece with a biscuit and some red beans and rice. It's fantastic. I do, by the way, I don't know if that's a dog, but if it isn't, that means
it's a dog.
I don't know, man.
Oh, thank God. Another episode. No, there's just three.
It's on a leash.
Year of yeah. Spencer doesn't know what a dog is.
I mean, this is, if that's a terrifying looking dog.
It's that's ancient what, Rome.
They didn't have time to invent poodles yet.
Cerberus just walking around with this hell beast.
What?
Yeah.
What Cerberus do you think dogs is real for?
Flavius, I don't know what kind of demonic
dogs were
you have
for
on that
their
leash, but I'm feeling it.
Delicious texture, dog.
Yeah, dogs weren't for. I mean, they probably were sailors at this time, but dogs at this time were not made to put in sailor suits and have their toenails painted.
I don't know that.
Okay, that's
I think the leash is what makes
sailors.
It sad because this wasn't some dog they found. Someone, this is like bring your own BYOD.
Hey, listen, you get that dog in line, honey, or I'm going to have to take it down to the fry shop.
Take him down to the, what's it called, the termatorium?
Yeah, we're going to have to take it down to the permatermatolium.
Jesus
Christ. What I like is that it's actually kind of like a hot food bar, because it's got all these holes where they were like, they kept jars here with the food in it. So it was sort
we're
of
back
just,
to Luby's.
Yeah, it kind of is a Luby's.
It is crazy how...
Luby's Cafetorium.
It's so well preserved. It seems fake, right? Like it looks like a reconstruction, but this is just thanks to the volcano. This is what they left for us. You could walk in there right now, put on an apron, and start serving up piles of duck if you wanted.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure I've seen this chicken photo on coasters at Williams-Sonoma.
Oh, 100%.
I just like the idea that because I don't know about you, but the Popeyes. Around us, I have now established which people really are magicians on the fryer. Like which?
No, you're talking about the one on Monroe.
Yeah, like the one on.
Or sorry, Moreland.
Moreland, yeah, one on Moreland. Whoever works that fryer is just a magician. Just
when
a genius.
The Popeyes is open, because that is the Popeyes that is sometimes just closed.
Yeah, like a Tuesday on a 5 o'clock, they'll just be closed.
This used to be my Popeyes. It used to be the one like directly down the street from my house, and. It was about 60-40 as to whether or not it would be open on a given day. Always worth it when it was.
It is the Popeyes that has the single largest concentration of pure Popeyes chaos energy.
Yeah.
Both in the positive and the negative.
This means there was a day when someone went to the Pompeii chicken stand and they said, "You want mild or spicy?"
Yeah.
Oh shit.
That's right. And he said, spicy. And he said, it's going to be.
And God said,
15.
Surprise me.
Yeah.
It's going to be about 12
gonna
be about seconds. 15,
it's going to be about 15 for spicy. And he said, okay, I'll wait. And there he waits.
Damn.
It got spicy. It got spicy. But
that's, there's somebody.
It's going to be about 76 AD for spicy.
There's just there's some figure sitting in Herculaneum's like caves full of like, you know, people killed by the ash who's just clinging on to like his three piece. Like, I'm going out with it, man. Just
like, this good. Oh, woo, this is good shit right here.
God, it's good. I got to dive. Finally. Man, let's get this down first. Come on.
Finally, somebody in this town knows how to season a chicken.
These Tertius Maximus. Damn. You're a sorcerer.
These pictures revealed to me that I could not be an archaeologist because I would have been too tempted, like when they came to take the photos, to hide in the background, like a photo of, I don't know, like Ed Asner or a baseball player. So, like one of those where you're like, oh, he came to this place. Oh, wow, that's so cool. Here's Ed Asner eating duck. Like at this fucking, yeah.
Larry
like
King.
Hanging up a framed portrait of him at the restaurant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you'd be like, damn, yeah. Bourdain got here first, too.
Wow.
Gah.
Fraser Crane himself.
It's weird. Kelsey Grammer, nothing like Fraser Crane. Totally different guy. It's wild. He did love his fried Roman dog, though. Mm.
Larry King is the one to pick because that's also the one old enough that you're like, maybe, who's to say?
You could probably put a portrait of the Apostle Paul there. He did. Sure. He was in the area at one point.
With Larry King.
With Larry King.
That's right. Arm in arm.
My good friend.
And Larry King tweeted at him. He said, have you ever known anyone who got murdered? And Paul says, yes. But there's a twist.
Yeah, I didn't meet him. It didn't stick, though.
I didn't meet him until he was already murdered. And Larry King
asked Paul about luxuries.
Larry, I spread the gospel.
Larry,
actually, these days they say you do need a private plane for that.
That's true.
Mm. Yeah, Paul is by the way original poster, like legendary. Poster.
Man.
Oh, the very online.
Yeah,
letting them
fly. Our most online apostle.
God.
God's first Redditor.
Pass the keyboard.
Yeah,
that's first entire Reddit.
Which
mods are away.
Paul
was the mod and the blogger.
That's right. Hey, sorry, first blog got deleted. Had to start a second one over here. Please ignore.
And his shit's all out of order too. His shit's not reverse cron.
Nope.
Yeah, Paul's the original guy. He's like, I have no expertise in this area. However. Here's a 14-page epistle on this.
If you actually read 1 Corinthians, at the bottom, there's a bunch of outbrain links. 18 celebrities. You'd never believe what they look like now.
And he's got ghostwriters. He didn't want to, but like half that shit wasn't even him.
Time has not been kind to Solomon.
I would actually really love an outbrain link or like an outbrain type company that just said things like, you'll never believe what Doubting Thomas looks like now.
It's listening to podcast in hell.
15 other shrouds with interesting faces.
It's number 15 will wow you.
This one has Fran Drescher.
It's Mary Kate Ashley Olsen on a shroud. That's amazing.
Can you get your own
shroud?
No,
that's the shroud of Tulum. Common mistake.
Oh,
can you buy a shroud online with your face?
Any washcloth is a shroud.
No, I mean, like, will someone custom make
a shroud
for you?
Yes, but you have to do it, like, airbrush style, like at the New Jersey Shore or something.
Nah, I'm going to go classier than that.
You want
a
classy?
Yeah, Myrtle Beach.
Go to fucking Busch Gardens Williamsburg then, all right?
That's the classiest
place I can think of off the top.
I'm
gonna
upload a photo and have a shroud sent to me.
Fine, custom shroud graphics.
Thanks, custom ink.
Nope,
Ron,
nothing.
I'm so glad you're back.
Teespring sells them. Weird.
All I am hearing is business opportunity on Etsy. You can buy a complete burial shroud kit for $120.
Oh, because like eco burials are in, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
This is one of those things, yeah.
No, I have I had a friend who did the whole like eco burial thing.
Had a friend.
That's fun.
Yeah. I did. No, it's lovely. It's absolutely lovely. Like,
but Jason, you want a living shroud, I assume.
Like a ghost? Yeah,
do you want like a snuggie? Wait.
No, no.
Do you want a shroud for use at and after your death, or do you want like a shroud you can hang up now and be like, "Hey, that's me."
Yeah, I want a faux blood print that looks like it's been unearthed.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, wearing a shroud, that's like, I'll get a pillowcase.
Right.
Can I get one that's just of Purdue Pete's face?
See, that, yeah.
Oh, now he already comes standard on a number of shrouds.
Yeah.
He is risen, and we wish he was not.
We wish he would be significantly less risen.
Please stop, sir.
Please stop praying for Pistol Pete. He's grown too strong, and the tasers don't work on him anymore.
Are you suggesting Purdue Pete and Pistol Pete are brothers in the Pete family?
Yeah, their last name's Pete.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are. One went and got his degree, and the other decided to make wells with dynamite for a living.
That's a very Simon and Simon kind of backstory.
If they're not brothers, then it's possible they are husbands. But regardless, they're unquestionably family. Their last name is Pete.
Pistol and Purdue Pete, both playable characters in Copperhead Rudd.
Yes.
Not Purdue.
He's absolutely a playable character. He's got a huge hammer and a mean face.
Down in Phoenix City, a wild casino burg of the Piedmont. Remember, when you say, "Hey, has any city ever had to be taken over by the feds because the whole thing was mobbed up?" Yeah, Phoenix City, Alabama, y'all.
I used to live directly across the river from Phoenix City.
Phoenix City was wild, yeah.
Phoenix City sits right on the Georgia-Bama border. For those of you who don't know, it is the Alabamian counterpart to Columbus, Georgia.
It's the anti-Columbus.
Not as anti-Columbus as Columbus would like to think.
I have a feeling state lines used to mean way more.
Oh, they did, especially back when one side was dry and one side was not.
Yeah, like when you could just go over and be like, "Oh man, I can't do anything. He walked over to Alabama. That's like a totally different country over there." Now it's like, "No, we'll just follow you. We'll just go and get you. You can't hide over there." Has anyone, by the way, has anyone actually watched a bowl game?
No.
One, yeah. Parts of them. But, yeah, I watched our Carolina Chanticleers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked in on the Beach Chickens, but for the most part, that game depressed me.
I did watch the Beach Chickens versus, Liberty.
I think that game was great because Hugh Freeze looked really stupid. So I don't need to acknowledge the outcome. Hugh Freeze looked really dumb.
Yeah, it was really the outcome on the scoreboard that I was objecting to.
Also, Coastal Carolina's wide receivers were held on two straight plays.
Yeah.
Potential. Yeah.
Little handsy there, Liberty.
Yeah, leave room for the Lord, Liberty.
That was close.
Can't believe this is happening on Ian McCaw's watch.
Why? Has he done something bad before?
No, I just meant he's familiar with places that frown on dancing.
Ah, that's right. Actually, that is weird because the worst single like red zone finish I've ever seen prior to the game between Coastal Carolina and Liberty.
Also featured.
Also Baptist.
Baylor. Yeah, also featured an employer of Ian McCaw, featured Baylor University, and head coach Kevin Steele, who I know went on to no major jobs after that, because that was when Baylor, trying to win its first game against, its first game in like, I can't remember how many games, like 20 or 30 games, like they were on a ferocious losing streak, and I believe it was Baylor. I believe it was 1999.
Was it? It was, and it was against someone bad too. Rice, UNLV.
It was like UNLV, man.
Yeah.
It was like the worst possible. Yeah. It was 1999, and Baylor was leading 24-20, and Baylor had the ball, and this was with 6 minutes left. Or no, it was. I'm sorry. Much less time than that. They were trying to run out the clock with less than 20 seconds left. And rather than take a knee, they handed it off. And he fumbled. And then a UNLV player ran the ball all the way back. All the way back. for a game-winning touchdown, 27-24. And then, like I said, Kevin Steele never got a job again.
This is one of those stories where this is not the point, but it is helpful for me to remember how much of conferences are a social construct. Like Baylor playing UNLV, just, you know, like they normally did, because this is what we used to think of Baylor as. And then all of a sudden, Ann Rice, et cetera, decided that they were not. Not Ann Rice. Jesus Christ.
Hell yes. I love this vampire backstory.
The vampire Lestat went to Baylor?
I mean, that's
the Baylor vampire bears?
That's it. We gave him too much Dr. Pepper and turned him into a vampire.
They're also playable characters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the Were Panthers of Tarrant County.
Vampire Bear versus Cowboy Garfield. Fight!
Vampires and Baptists. Neither of them can show a lot of skin outside.
Hey! That's this quote from Kevin Steele, by the way, after that's incredible, which is, "It was just stupid on my part. We were trying to create an attitude of toughness, and we tried to hammer it in."
How's he doing, by the way?
How's he doing?
Pension Quest.
I think so.
Pension Quest.
Someone who has overseen the ending of a game that accumulated that much bullshit. I think I see why Auburn likes this guy. That is a man comfortable with diving into bad ideas and chaos, and that is what you need to succeed at Auburn.
Sure. After Sam Neill's character from Event Horizon turned the job down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got my eyes on other jobs.
I'm happy where I am.
Yeah, no,
we're building something here on the Event Horizon.
We're recruiting. It's great.
Do you see how pretty this town is?
Yeah, it's lovely. It's beautiful. I do really. It is a bummer. You know what? It is a bummer, but like, I can't. Coastal's so cold this year that. Like, I didn't even realize that their offense was called the Teal Team 6 offense. Teal Team 6.
It's not enough players, guys. It's not enough players.
It's all we need. This is a lesson to every football program. Lean in. Lean into it. Whatever it is. What, you guys have teal uniforms. Damn right it's teal. Teal cooks. Teal's awesome.
Lean in would also be good advice to Liberty on the goal line.
Mm. Yeah, lean in. Don't hesitate.
Lean one way or the other. Don't just stand
just,
there.
Don't just stand there.
We say that, we are, of course, making fun of the coaches who oversaw that situation. It's ultimately their fault. Because Hugh Freeze.
Had a little bit of a pillar assault situation.
Don't look back. Yeah. No, this is on the coaches. Because they couldn't figure out how to take a knee. Right?
That doesn't speak well of them.
That's, yeah, exactly. Since when does a Christian school have a problem taking a knee?
Ain't y'all been at chapel?
Yeah, seems simple enough. Don't be between one thing or another. Do not be lukewarm, for the Lord will spit you out, or more appropriately, the ball, into the hands of Coastal Carolina, who really, really could have won the game.
And did.
Just
did.
You know, did. Well, let's give them that. 12-0, congratulations. We just decided you won. That's We're not right. giving that to Liberty.
Wait, it actually is. I've decided it actually is funnier if Coastal has decided, fuck the bowl game. We're counting the loss and we're calling ourselves national champs.
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who says they got to go undefeated?
Bama has
lots
theory,
of titles with one loss.
We used to award the national championship before the Bulls were even played.
That's right.
Listen, yeah. That, so there's a historical basis.
Go look how many. I think it's something like 15 power conference teams claim titles from years in which they lost bowl games. Why can't Coastal do that?
I'm also reminded that I seem to recall in previous years when we always have extended discussions about how we would revamp the bowl system if we ran the zoo, I seem to remember a strong consensus even before this weird ass backward upended year for returning to the system of the 60s and 70s where they're all just invitationals.
That's what they are now.
Like I have a very strong memory that I can't pull from directly. God, did one of y'all write this? I can't remember, but I seem to remember a discussion that we've all had previously in which we were like, yeah, returning to this system would be fine and save everyone a lot of yelling.
The two ideas I always come back to is one I blogged with Godfrey, which was if we want to do playoff, then save the Bulls by moving them all to week one, mm-hmm. which that would rule for a lot of reasons.
That'd
the other
great,
is,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would, then you get both best of both worlds. Week one's
and also,
awesome.
Then you get to play all the bowls in warm weather, which means,
yeah.
you know, more places can have bowls that people actually want to go to.
There's that. And then if I was in charge, we'd do a big old bullshit bowl season. 80 bowls, fine. 800 bowls, keep them coming. But then there would be one extra bowl at the very end after all the bowls. That's title game. And if, like, for some reason, number two team doesn't want to play in it or whatever, great. Number one, we don't even have to have it. Number one team is the national champ.
I encourage Coastal to play another bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to.
There's time.
Early.
Yeah, just call San Jose State.
There's certainly
call,
space. Music
call
City
Missouri.
Bowl just had an opening today.
Oh, shit, what happened?
Missouri has 20-some COVID cases and will not be attending.
Don't call Missouri, call Iowa.
That's right.
Call Army.
Yeah, I was going to say, Army keeps getting knocked out. We got to get Army back in there.
Let Army play. Let San Jose State. You know, and then call yourselves national champions. Be like, hey, listen, we had a tough loss versus Liberty. A couple things didn't go our way. It's a good team, but I don't think we're out of contention yet.
I will say, if you play Army, the TL Team 6 thing will be a little bit awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, you might want to dial
sorry,
that down.
Sorry, you call yourself what?
So, I would like to know when technically
Ryan,
the...
Before you get some emails, that's Navy.
I
yeah,
know,
and,
but...
And Coastal Carolina... by name and by definition, does lay claim to the sea as its dominion.
That's more of a privateer. These are merchant marines, right?
Sure.
Wait, yeah. No, merchant marines are something different.
Pirates? Are we talking about pirates?
Privateers, sir. Please, this is Charleston.
So if FCS is playing in the spring, which I haven't even... Is that still happening? I don't even know.
It is, I believe, yeah.
Okay, I'm literally wearing an FCS team shirt right now.
Like the playoffs are scheduled for April, I think.
That's fucking stupid. I hate that. They should get it done well before the draft. That's, like, I just want FCS players drafted. But why can't Coastal just roll into that?
Just show up.
Just keep going. Just try and go, like, what can they go? 20-something and one? That's a national champ record.
That's fair.
I'm looking forward to some Montana team playing in a foot and a half of snow on the field.
And loving it.
Again,
yeah. Like even worse. Like, where you're...
Like, what is it, August?
I'm just wondering what effective plays you have there, right? Could you actually scoot someone along? Like, hey, listen, we're just going to use you as a toboggan. We'll get there. This field's got a crown on it. It's downhill from the 40 to 50.
The sled of God.
Yeah. That's...
Listen, the Thermopylae's open. You guys are playing, all right?
That's right. That man, Tertius Maximus, has been making chicken for the whole team for 2,000 years.
Oh, speaking of Roman food, I looked up found a fact from our boys, the Plinies. Pliny the Elder describes the manufacture of cheese and its quality and culinary uses. It has, according to Pliny, dietary and medicinal uses in the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Pliny, you are so sage.
these folks were rubbing cheese on it.
Give me some of that Bactine cheese.
I'd be dead. I'd
now
be
hold
dead.
On, hold on. This is a prescription strength
cheese. You'd
be dead
for so many other reasons.
Just shoot it in my neck, Doc. Shoot it right in my heart.
Well, you can eat it, or it can be taken as a suppository. That'd be like suppository.
That's so redundant. Cheese going up your butt. Just straight.
It confuses the body.
Muscle confusion, but with cheese.
We got our Will. We got you on a queso IV.
Just kill me.
I like that for so long in human history, medicine was basically like the 6-year-old's approach to things, which is what did I just do that made me feel better or got me sick? Whatever the thing that just happened was. Oh, I feel a little bit better today. You know what it was? The cheese I had for breakfast.
Therefore,
cheese
you should
medicine.
Do that too.
That's right. Put it and in now, the book. Cheese is medicine.
Yeah, there was, I forget the name of the Roman physician, big quote fingers physician, but for literally like 1,000 years, a scientist or a doctor or whatever would say, like, hey, this worked pretty well. And they're like, nope, nice try. That's not what the book says. Like, it was borderline illegal to come up with good medical ideas because they'd be like, you idiot, read the book.
Sorry. We treat that with Toblerone, a thing we just invented.
That's what it was
the
for.
Guy, yeah. Like, the guy who came up with hand washing as being an essential, like, thing to do to prevent people from dying in hospitals because doctors would just put their hands like up from one sick person to another, or they would do an autopsy and just roll out and be like, yeah, give me a sandwich, it's fine,
it's fine, I had cheese, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I interviewed a woman last week for this other podcast that I'm working on, and this woman's mother is a VA nurse in I forget where. Anyway, this woman's mother is a VA nurse and has described, even since COVID started, having to put her body between surgeons trying to come in who didn't scrub their hands during a fucking pandemic.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is uncles are everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that guy went insane because he was like, no, listen, I've done all the math and I've done the data, run the data, and I've done observations, and I just, this works, y'all. And doctors responded to it by being like, wimp. Who washes their hands?
Listen, man, the cheese industry pays us good, all right? Don't fuck this up for me, all right? I go to 3 cheese conventions a year on their dime.
Just rub some camembert on your hands. It'll be fine. Why is my corrupt doctor voice the uncle voice? It'll be great.
Uncle doctor.
Uncle doctor. Yeah. Uncle doctor.
Dr. Uncle Spencer Hall.
The secret final boss of Copperhead Road.
Oh, you know that, you know,
this man's Uncle Doc. That's the boss's name.
Uncle,
oh, shit,
Doc.
It's Uncle Doc.
He's a bad man. He'll beat you to death with his magical frying pan. It's cast iron. He wields it like a club.
You boys running cheese?
Speaking of planting the seeds of brilliant ideas, yeah.
Speaking of lucrative cross-state investment opportunities that you know, wink, wink, might not be apparent to prying eyes, acorns.com/fullcast. Now, if the government needs to know, then you should tell them.
I was going to say, are you saying it's illegal?
No, it's totally legal. It's the most legal thing I know of, in fact. Completely above board, acorns.com/fullcast. What is it? Why? It's the country's leading saving and investing app. It's incredibly easy. Listeners have been glued to their seats as my humble Acorn pile has arisen from a mere $5 to $92.56.
Wow.
Outrageous.
We're
the market is
towards
humming.
$100.
Yeah, the market is it's hitting, what is that? Almost a whole percent gain over this time span, what have you. Yeah, man, it's easy. It takes nickels and dimes out of your purchases. You can also set to kick in an automatic amount. I just do a little $5 a week, and yeah, we're the bar's going up. Let's see, there's somewhere in here where you can set like what you're on pace for. And if I make it to like 90 or something like that, I'm set, man. I got well over six figures in my Acorns account at that point. Yeah, it's very easy, and for persons like me, easy. It's very important as far as the financials go. Acorns.com/fullcast. You get a $5 bonus when you sign up. It takes 3 minutes, and then you just look at it like once a week. The market is magic.
You know who didn't have it? Roman doctors, idiots.
Roman doctors,
fucking
not a single Pliny.
Morons.
See, if you were Tertius Maximus, sorcerer of the Pompeii deep fryer, what he would have done is he would have taken his chicken fortune, invested it into acorns, and he would have become the Crassus of his time.
This makes me sad, because then if he had invested that money in acorns, he could have retired and got out of Pompeii before the fucking volcano
blew. Or all his money would have been safe in his phone, which means all his money is online, and his
sure.
money is not on his body that is being covered by volcano and soot.
Yeah.
So loose your money from your flammable body and get it in your phone. That's what I'm saying. Acorns.com.
Hey, Acorns, if you want to borrow that slogan, that one's free.
Overcome the weakness of the flesh.
Shuffle off this mortal coil the thrifty way.
Lose your money from your flammable body.
Yeah, keep bodies are flammable, but investments only catch fire when the market's hot.
Yeah, that's the right kind of flammable.
Yeah. Speaking of cooking, I wanted to shout out one person who, they're a bunch of kind of like absolute bummer bowls that we just couldn't really bring ourselves to watch. But there is one person who deserves all of the shouts out in the world. Cameron Peoples of App State. Cameron Peoples had a good year. He rushed for 1,000 yards this year. How he got there, kind of interesting, because he's had games where, you know, he was steady, had 100 yards against Charlotte. He had 178 against Coastal in the 34-23 loss to the Shants. It wasn't his fault, you know. He had 99 against a good Raging Cajuns team. He was solid. It's been solid all year. But in the bowl game against North Texas in the Myrtle Beach Bowl,
out in the Myrtle Beach Bowl in Kentucky.
Cameron Peoples rushed for 317 yards. Yeah, he rushed for 317 yards against North Texas. It's North Texas. This is where I go, hey, isn't North Texas's defense bad? Yeah, it's real bad. But you still have to run 317 yards if they're going to give it to you. And you got to go. You got to do them all. You got to take every bit of that and get 5 TDs at the same time. So, you know what? They gave it to you and you took it, Cameron. Shouts out to you. That's beautiful, man. Pride of Lineville, Alabama.
You think they call him Peoples because he ran for 3 Peoples worth of yards?
He did what he ran. Listen, man, he rushed for 317 yards in Myrtle Beach. I'm going to go ahead and posit that's the furthest anyone has ever run in the town of Myrtle Beach.
Well, unless they're, you know, running from the cheese industry lawman.
The cheese cops? Ah. Unless they've been running cheese through Myrtle Beach.
It's the most exercise anyone's ever done at Myrtle Beach.
I don't even think they make it that far. The cops just put their hands on their hips and they're like, we'll get to you.
The cheese cops. Yeah. Because the cheese cops are in with the cheese docs. Cheese cops eating a lot of cheese.
I'm just going to say the cheese cops, yeah, they're going to be winded. They're not going to go on. Oh, so full. So full of all this medicine. We also have...
Speaking of cheese.
Mm-hmm. I fucking hate this.
Oh boy. Yeah, this is...
I don't know if anybody who works at Twitter listens to this show, but if you could, like, put a checkbox in the settings where I could just turn off all Scott Walker food photos, that would be lovely. Like, I don't want to see him anymore. They're always bad.
It's upsetting and misleading about a civic event.
It's like... Yeah, it's always bad, and I hate
it. Ryan, are you like me in that you were triggered by the appearance of this pizza into thinking about Scott Walker's veggie pizza?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, it's to catch you up. It's not just that Scott Walker said, "Hey,
who's Scott Walker?" First of all, because it's not like people know anymore.
He's a former governor of Wisconsin. Absolute.
And the first person to drop
trash
out of
bag.
The 2016 Republican primary.
Yeah.
So that's all his fault.
Yeah, pretty much. Quitter.
Yeah. Like he dropped, but yeah, he dropped out real early when people were saying things to him like, look like a fish person.
Probably because he had to eat food on the campaign trail and he was like, can you make it more melty and gross? They're like, sir,
yeah,
this is a hot dog.
You know, there are people who are very gifted at taking photos of food on Instagram to make it look absolutely sumptuous. And then there's the opposite of that, Scott Walker, who could take a picture of a meal at the French Laundry and make it look like cat vomit.
He's like if Vincent D'Onofrio's character from Men in Black decided to be a food Instagrammer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, delicious sugar water for Scott today.
He's wearing a people suit. That's absolutely right.
Bread and cheese. Veggie pizza at the lake.
This is every Republican politician, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this Scott Walker's
y'all
a
see John
offender.
Cornyn's brisket?
Yeah, John Cornyn.
Yeah, the man with the Play-Doh firewood.
God. Yeah.
But Scott Walker's. Well, wait, we haven't gotten to the part where Scott Walker's particular pizzagram this time was special.
Yeah, because.
And that it was a classic.
Yeah, because he said, oh, yeah, it's great pizza. It's a picture of a. I mean, he makes it look like shit, even though he's not the one taking it, right? I just assumed that
the
his presence.
Pizza is at least identifiably pizza, unlike his veggie pizza.
Yeah.
But.
It's not just that, the pizza that he was like, hey, we have great pizza. Let's support local restaurants. You're just tweeting this at, like, you know, like on Christmas. And it's not that. It's that Scott Walker used a photo of a pizza that he had eaten a year earlier and just cropped it. He's cropped everybody out of it so that his friends were right. His friends
My
were
li- friends are all here laughing and having a good time just out of frame.
Just out of frame.
Also, the significant pieces of legislation I passed are also here, just out of frame, laughing and having a good time.
Yeah, he just cropped all, like, this is worse than the time he had a bunch of undercooked and improperly cooked meats on shish kebab, right? Bunch of kebabs on his grill. So grilling out, and there's, like, a visibly raw chicken in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, next to onion that won't cook for another, you know, 10 minutes. But you know, I like my chicken raw because I'm barely human. Chicken!
I blame his parents.
Is it possible it is the same pizza? It just had a lot of preservatives in it?
Oh, wow. Like a McDonald's hamburger in a bunker.
Like a Pompeii pizza.
Yeah.
He's eating Twinkie pizza. A Pom pizza.
I just like the
Pompeii John's.
Pompeii John's.
Oh my God, the Pompeidia.
Better the original pizza. The original Little Caesars.
Hey, Vesuvius was hot and ready, man. It's ready to go. Yeah. I just like the brain slop that goes into, maybe I did eat the same pizza tonight, but I forgot to take a photo of it. You know who's going to have a good photo of that food? Me. The archival. Like, he's just in his brain tag. He's just like, photo of pizza. Pizza.
How do I people?
You know what's going to be really cool is when Mike Pence is out of the White House. First of all, it's going to be really cool. The part about it's going to be really cool is when he becomes a food poster. Can you imagine? He's going to run laps around even these milquetoast-ass Republicans. This man's going to be taking photos of, like, unbuttered bread.
Mm.
I leave my Arby's out for several hours just to make it unspicy. Just to cure it, just to air pure it.
Like the pilgrims did,
yeah. I like Arby's jerky. I leave it on my dashboard for several hours.
Corden style.
God, that shit looked like shoelaces covered in molten crayon.
Like, it wasn't even ketchup. That wasn't quite the color for it. It was neon.
In case you don't know about Texas. I love that. He's like, you know, Texas, in case you didn't know, a lot of you don't know, this is a tradition in Texas. And his mentions are all people from Texas being like, I hate you. This is garbage.
I hate you, Daddy.
This you man can't put, cook.
He's got silly putty on beef jerky.
He does.
It's like congealed.
It looked like one of those cooking
I left these Twizzlers in a tub for 7 hours.
It looked like, I would say, it looked like one of those Top Chef challenges where they're like, with a child as your partner, go to a convenience store and make this. Using only the ingredients in that convenience store.
Your ingredients are crayons and bark.
Yeah. Well, this is brisket. Is it?
I don't want to see anything else.
So this is brisket.
What have you done?
I just don't want to see Scott Walker's food anymore. It's terrible. I already know if Scott Walker were to ever invite me over for a meal, I would just say no. That's not, like, I get it.
Listen, just be glad he didn't turn to erotic photography because you'd never have sex again. After looking at what he photographed.
Why would your brain go there?
Why wouldn't it?
Scott Walker's food photos are so bad that I imagine at Lunchables HQ, they pass him around being like, see, we're fucking killing it. Look at this guy. We're crushing him. He was a governor.
Yeah, whatever the Mendoza line is for processed food, they just have a picture of his face up on the wall at like Nabisco.
I'm just going to say this, man.
Excellent work, Governor Governor Lunchable.
I mean, this is so bad that even people from the Midwest have to be like, dude. Dude.
I want him to go on Bake Off for one episode. Just one episode.
And then we will bake him off.
So I'm adding the pencil shavings in this emulsion. They fit well when I am going to make this trifle.
You mean trifle? Yeah, no, no, trifle.
No, it's full of trees.
It's trifle.
It's full of trees.
Full of trees. Fill it with trees. Eat it. It is of nature.
I am a man of the woods.
God, I'm glad he sucks and has no job. Yeah.
Speaking again of cheese.
Yeah.
How does focus. This keep
let's,
happening?
Let's focus. Let's focus.
Turns. Segways on point. Cheese It Bowl.
That was a fucking triple axle, Ryan. Way to go.
Yeah. Hey, Cheese It Bowl back. We got our first Power 5 versus Power 5 matchup of the year.
Now, how canon is this Cheese It Bowl? Because this is the Russell Athletic Champ Sports Camping World Mazda Blockbuster lineage.
I don't love it. I'm not going to lie. I don't feel totally comfortable with it. What do y'all think?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, how about this? We did not love the Cheese It Bowl until it became the Cheese It Bowl. On this very program, we were skeptical of Cheese It wading into college football. And then we saw it, what it delivered in Cal TCU, its first edition, at which point we loved the Cheese It Bowl. So perhaps
true.
We could give it a chance.
I will like it as long as it is sloppy and bad. Right?
It is a bowl, it is a bowl game. So.
A Miami game? Sloppy and bad?
Mike Gundy, an unprepared team?
Because, you know, like right before the game.
Something
like,
going wrong in Orlando?
I will say, the only pause I have with it is that I think the teams in the Alamo Bowl have more Cheez-It potential. If this was Texas versus Colorado in the Cheez-It Bowl, like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's like the moon.
And the kind of cheese.
It's like the moon in that we're not too sure about it.
Yes.
In the shady confines of the Alamo Dome, yeah.
Indiana Ole Miss is definitely the most Cheez-It Bowl of the year, though.
You think so?
I mean, both those teams, all they do is like, 70-yard play! Oh, cool, for who? It's no time! Here comes another one!
Shut up! Eat your food, it's fine!
How's the game going to end? Is it going to be normal? Indiana Ole Miss?
I think that's...
Lane Kiffin's coaching without underwear on. How do you know? He just told me!
I think that's going to be another one that's like, how do we tell people what they're watching?
You don't.
Like, when they walk in and they go, oh, God, what is this? What do we tell them?
At the same time, there's Kentucky NC State for normies.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck. Remember, the gag is that, you know, NC State has to finish 8-4. Their record going into this game against a 4-6 Kentucky team is 8-3. Put the mortgage on Kentucky. Put the whole tank, put the college fund on Kentucky.
Here's how you know the Outback Bowl is unholy this year. Ole Miss and Indiana have never played each other in a football game. Not once.
There's probably a good reason for that.
Through millennia of human history, we have avoided Ole Miss-Indiana as a football matchup, but not
this
year.
That we know of.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Once That'll again, be the next thing they unearth in Pompeii.
Records
so
were very
Christmas,
shaky.
And what have we done?
Holy shit, we found a mummified Kaylee. They had a grove at Pompeii. Look at this.
This is the, no
She's
one
She's got a little jewel still clenched between her lips.
Her whole left leg is a flask.
These were obviously advanced, intelligent people from a powerful culture.
Flask is full of cheese. Doctor's orders.
She could deadlift 900 pounds. What's become of us as a species? Once we were great. When we were Kaylee.